The good law of God, is it made death to me? The sin that dwells within me, and the body of this death, who will deliver me from it? Coming at you this morning.
God's resistance.
Well, I'm glad that you have tuned in with us for this episode. We are continuing our study here in Romans chapter 7. We had gone through the first 12 verses last time. We're going to pick it up here for the remaining verses of this chapter. And the last time, we ended on this verse, verse 12, where it says, "Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good." So we realize God's law is holy. The commandment's holy. It's just and good. There's nothing wrong with that law. The problem is that since the law has come to us and we want to obey it and do all the things that God has asked us to do, why is it that I find some trouble that's going on inside of my life and inside of my heart? Why does it seem like almost things have gotten worse rather than getting better? Well, we find the answer to that as we continue to go through Romans chapter 7 here. So if we look at Romans 7:13, he says, speaking of the law, "Was then that which is good made death unto me?" That's the question, right? I thought the law was good. I thought that if I obeyed it, my life would be better. Things would be better. God would be pleased with me. My life would be reformed and changed around. Rather, what I found is that thing that is good, God's law, made death unto me. And Paul says emphatically, God forbid. No, that's not the answer, but sin. Now, the last time I had said, if you're looking at my screen on here, if you're watching it through YouTube, you'll see that sin here is highlighted, and I have it highlighted several different times throughout this chapter. And in the original Greek, it literally says the sin. We in our English have it translated to just sin. Now, the sin is talking about sin indwelling. And I think other phrases in here, which we'll get to at the end of this chapter, bear out that context. He's not just talking about one particular type of sin. He's talking about the sin, the reigning sin, the problem of sin inside of the human heart. And so when we look at Romans 7:13 here, he says, God forbid, the law is not made death to you, but the sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that the sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. But he's saying to us, the law shines light on sin, and more specifically in this part, indwelling sin. So he's saying, it's not that the law has been made death unto me, but the sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me. It's the sin that's working death in me by that which is good. The law is good. It shines the light in, and then it shines a light to help me to see that there is sin dwelling in me. There is a reigning tyrant inside of my heart. Something is not quite right. And so the law, all it does is shine the light on and make something that's been hiding in the dark and perhaps not in our consciousness, removed from our consciousness. And then when the law comes in, the light shines on and we're seeing sin and its ugliness inside of our heart. We like to think that we're better off than we really are, but really what we find is that there's sin dwelling within, and the law, all it does is shine the light on it, show the gruesome monster within our breast, and now it's working death in me. It's the sin that's doing it. That's where Paul is getting at. The law shines the light on the sin. And then he says, why? That the sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. So that's the whole point. When you read through Romans 7, there is not somebody who is making an excuse for sin in their lives, which is unfortunately what a lot of people say when they read Romans 7. See, why do I do what I don't want to do, but I do it anyways? That's the height of Christian living. That is, couldn't be farther from the point. He is speaking about the time when he was a Jew trying to take the law in earnest, and when he came to the realization that it's this sin that's dwelling within him. There's something deeper than simply what he was doing on the outside. There is a principle of sin within, and something needs to be done about it. It's the fountain from where all of my actions have come from, and if I don't get this taken care of, I'm in big trouble. That's kind of where he's coming from here. So he says the law shines that the sin by God's commandment might become exceeding sinful. So that's the point. This person here is in utter despair of the sin that they have just now realized is inside of their own heart. They're realizing, oh no, everywhere I turn, the sin, the sin, the sin. And that is the function of the law, to make that appear exceedingly sinful. But if we just stop there, the Christian life would be a miserable existence. So we have to go through the rest of this chapter to find the note of victory. When we move on to verse 14, we see here it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin," or under the sin here. So we know that the law is spiritual. And that's why people would take the law in earnest if they're seeking after God. They want to do what the law says to do, and they want to do it with all their might because they realize the law is spiritual. They know the law has come from God Almighty. He said, so that's the law. That's what I see with the law. But I'm carnal. I'm carnal. I'm sold under the sin. In other words, it's like here, I didn't really have a choice in the matter so far as this corruption that has just been a part of my life since I've been born. It's not that we're responsible for what Adam has done, but because Adam sinned, it has caused a corruption throughout all of existence, not just in the human heart, but we see death and decay happening throughout the world, you know, trees, plant life, animal life. We see that things don't last forever anymore. And so he says, I'm carnal. The law is spiritual, but I'm carnal. I'm sold under the sin. In other words, because of what Adam's done, I'm born in this state of corruption. Here I am. I'm sold under the sin. And this is what's the revelation that Paul is having at this moment, is that he's realizing I'm trying to do what the best that I know how to, but I just don't get it. And this is where it is dawning on him. So then as we move on, we go to verse 15, for that which, and here's how he explains it. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. So he's simply, this is where he's saying, I know that there's something else going on because my desire is that I want to do right and I want to do good, but I don't have the power to do it. This is essentially his argument. He's saying that there's got to be something else going on. And I think I'm realizing right now that what is going on is the sin that dwells within me, as we're going to find out in the next couple of verses. So verse 16, he says, excuse me. If then I do that, which I would not, if I do what I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it is good. So this doesn't sound like a willing captive. This sounds like an unwilling captive. I don't want to be like this. And a lot of times people use this chapter as an excuse to continue to live in sin, thinking that this is the height of Christian living. When in fact, if you were to look at this context, this is a man who is in dead earnest, wanting to get out from under this whole entire problem and wanting a fix. He's not settling for anything. He's not saying this is how the Christian life is going. He's saying, I'm starting to realize some things, and now how do I get this fixed? That's where he's at. And he said, if then I do that which I don't want to do, I consent unto the law that it is good, because I'm striving to do what the law says. So I realize the law is good. There's no problem with the law. The problem's with me. That's where he's getting at right here. So then verse 17. Now, this is where this really comes out. I've heard people say, there's no such thing as sin, the indwelling sin. And I understand where they're coming from in that, because sometimes people have used indwelling sin as an excuse to keep sinning. I can't help it because sin dwells within me, so I'm just going to keep doing this. That is a twisted view as to what Paul is saying here as well. We're not going to use indwelling sin as an excuse to live a sinful life and call ourselves Christians. That couldn't be farther from the truth. But at the same time, we cannot ignore this verse. This verse says, now then, it is no more I that do it, because he realizes he wanted to obey the law with all of his heart, but sin that dwelleth in me. This isn't an action, but this is a principle. This is a disposition. This is a corruption. There's something inside of me. The sin that dwells within me is the law, the moving force. I want to do what is right, but there's another law here also wanting to do the very thing that's wrong. And so we realize here his first revelatory statement. It's the sin that dwells within me. That's what's going on. Let's move on to verse 18. For I know that in me, and he clarifies it, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I would like to define what flesh is here. Now, it's not just this meat and bones, because then it's like, it goes back to the Gnostic heresy that this meat and bones is sinful in and of itself. And so long as we live in this body, we cannot live holy. We just have to have the special gnosis. And if we have the special gnosis, though we're not living holy, we are holy. And that's how Jesus sees us. And that is wrapped up oftentimes in a Calvinistic system. And I know a lot of good Calvinist people that don't necessarily live that out in that way. They live far above what they say they would believe. But that, I believe, is Gnosticism still clothed in different clothing than what it was in first century. But he's saying that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. In other words, in my human flesh, there is no power, no strength within just me by mere unaided sheer willpower that I'm going to effect a change in this at all. In fact, he says, in my flesh dwells no good thing, for to will is present with me. That seems to be a good thing, by the way. So what he's talking about is I have the will to do it, but I don't have the power to perform it. That's my problem here. And so I would say flesh is unaided humanity. Unaided humanity. Humanity trying to do the right thing without the power of God. And we realize that in a corrupted state, we can only give corrupted service at best. But he does realize that there is a will to do that which is right. It's present with me, but I cannot perform it because I don't have the power. So moving on to verse 19, for the good that I would, I do not. So he wants to do that which is good, but he realizes I have all the desire to want to do good, but I don't have the power to do it. He said, the good that I would, I do not, but the evil, which I would not, that I don't want to do, that I end up doing. And I can't say that what he's talking about here is that he's just living in flagrant open sin. Sometimes you can find this even in the believer's life. There's a little bit of this. And I don't believe this is necessarily speaking about this is what a believer's life looks like, but I could see how some people would see something of this maybe in their own hearts. They're not necessarily doing some gross outward sins, but maybe they feel the sin of pride inside of their heart. They feel the sin of jealousy. They feel the sin of an unrighteous anger, and they may not have acted on it, but it's there and they've consented to it inwardly, though they haven't acted on it outwardly. And that I would still say is sin, but it's qualitatively different than just going around and lust and committing adultery and fornication with others and doing all that. He's realizing there's something inside that's going against my highest desires. And so I could say there's something of that element that that a Christian may find in their lives until they come to this point at the end of Romans 7 where a death takes place. Excuse me. So then if we move on to verse 20, he says, now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So here he's just reiterating, this is his understanding now. This is what he's come to. If I will to do what is right, then it's not me in the core of my person that where there's a problem. It's a problem of indwelling sin. There's something deeper in my heart below choice that there's a problem with, and that needs to be taken care of. And so he says, I find then in verse 21, a law, kind of like the law of gravity, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. When I want to be humble, I'm proud of my humility. When I want to do loving deeds, I want to do them because I want people to see them. Oh, Lord, help me. You know, there's all this kind of wrapped together. And so when I want to do good, evil is present with me. Verse 22, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's no sinner really is saying I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I suppose an awakened sinner may feel that way. But I see another law in my members, verse 23, warring against the law of my mind. That law in the members is that law of sin and death. Warring against the law of my mind, the thing that I want to do, that I will to do, and it brings me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. And the law of sin is not like a written law. It is the law like gravity, this law of indwelling sin. There's a pull inside of me that is pulling me away from the things that I love and that I desire. Verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, this body of death is talking about in Roman capital punishment, if you were to murder somebody, the victim that you murdered would be strapped face to face to you, and that corpse would rot in front of you, and you would be carrying this around, and eventually you would succumb to all the bacteria and the decomposition of this body, and you yourself would die with this haunting victim that you murdered in front of you. And he is equating this sin that dwells within, like this body of death. If this hangs on me, it will suffocate me and kill me. That is kind of the picture that's being painted. But he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. So he's saying, I can see that in my mind, I want to do what's right. But if I'm to do this with an unaided humanity without the power of God, I am doomed to just be serving this law of sin. So who will deliver me from the body of Christ? He says, the one that will deliver you from this body of death is Jesus himself. So dear listener, even after you're a believer, that law of sin, the indwelling sin, must be crucified.